May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Well, greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 23rd, 2020. And today it is my great pleasure to be interviewing Dr. Carl Kalaman today regarding his new book, The Quantum Science of Psychedelics. This is the seventh book that Dr. Kalaman has written on the subject of Mayan science, which is a profound insight into the order of the universe and quantum energy shaping our individual and collective conscious evolution. Thank you, Dr. Kalaman, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it was 3 years ago I interviewed you about your book on the nine waves of creation, and a year earlier we discussed your other book on the global mind and the rise of civilization. So I wanted to congratulate you on completion of this profound paradigm shift trilogy with the quantum science of psychedelics.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, this is quite amazing. I've been writing for quite some time about, you know, that we're on the cusp of what some people call the Aquarian Age, but I refer to sometimes as the Quantum Age. Mm-hmm. And the understanding of this quantum age and quantum energies and this and the timeliness of the quantum science of psychedelics, I thought it was perfect to have you on, and I think it's timely for several reasons. So I wanted to ask you, in this regard, you know, some of these dynamics of conscious evolution that's going on with the expressions of the ninth wave of love and unity, but also, you know, for understanding of the global crisis with the coronavirus lockdown worldwide. This is something I was hoping we could get into a little bit today because, mm-hmm. like I say, it's, you know, a lot of people are wanting to know what's really going on behind the scene. They know there's something going on. They can't put their finger on it, but they know that it's more than just the virus.
Yes.
So, you know, the understanding of the psychological terrain behind, you know, what we're perceiving, there's a psychological terrain just like there's a biological terrain and a biological terrain. In modern medicine, is dealing more with the symptoms of what's in the biological terrain. You know, they're not dealing with, you might say, well, as like Pasteur said on his deathbed, it's not the bacteria or virus, it's the terrain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so we're looking at now, we got, there's the most people, because modern medicine has become the paradigm, I refer to it as the old paradigm, but we're still kind of stuck there, and it's kind of disintegrating, and there's this new paradigm emerging which deals with the cause behind what we think is the cause. You know, everyone thinks that the virus is the cause, but it's the same thing, I think, with your books explaining what's going on with the quantum field, and these mm-hmm. energies. Yeah, so could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first of all, I want to express my appreciation that you are calling the coming age the quantum age and not the Aquarian age. You know, my own view is that that kind of astrology is really obsolete, and if there really was some kind of truth to it, it would have been found a long time ago and proven. So, and I think, so this is more like some kind of a word that people have chosen in order to express their desire for a change to another world. And in that regard, I think is correct. But that change to another world can only come about as a quantum leap. And astrology as we know it and the precession of the equinoxes is based on old-fashioned Newtonian physics. And I think it's really time to leave that behind, go into the quantum world, understand how quantum science works, and how that affects us in our not just, you know, some people have got the simple version of quantum theory as what's on the subatomic level, so to speak. That's what we've been told so forth. But if we want to understand what happens on our own level, on the level of being a human being, then we'll have to expand this to a totally different realm, which is the macrocosmic quantum theory. And that's what I'm developing, as you've seen in this trilogy, actually, but I think it really just comes fully to fruition in this last book. And that's really looking at all of evolution as being driven by cosmic quantum shifts. And that's quite different from what we normally hear about. Cosmic quantum shifts, they influence our mind in a very direct way. And this last particular book, then, it addressed how does psychedelics and the taking of some kind of a chemical substance, whether it comes from a plant medicine or if it comes from a more chemical procedure, how can it be that a molecule like that can change the mind of somebody, temporarily at least, in such a way that a completely new world is created for that person? And this, I would say, you know, that you could never explain by, you know, the old astrology, which is really then about the planetary movements or something like that. But you can understand it by looking upon it as a kind of a quantum shift that changes the resonance that we develop with the cosmos. And so the profoundness of this new approach then is to see that much of our thinking, much of the world as we perceive it, is actually something we download through developing resonance with the waves of creation, the nine waves of creation. And all of this, I suggest, and I think you saw in the article that I sent you, it also influences these quantum states, these cosmic quantum states that we download. They also influence our whole beings, our whole thinking, and so forth. And then that in turn influences, for instance, our susceptibility to attacks by this particular virus. One of the aspects, to come back to, you brought this up, and I think it's natural that we do, even if we probably, some of us probably have heard enough about this virus, but I think there might be a new take on it that's coming out here. And what people seem to have completely forgotten when discussing the potential harms of this virus is that there is a psychosomatic effect that maybe also the kind of quantum states that we download has an effect on our Yeah, I would say our vitality, and sometimes in a positive sense, sometimes in a negative sense. And if we have a resonance with a quantum state that is not supporting our vitality, well, then I think we will be much more susceptible to harm. It seems it's been completely ignored, the fact, you know, all the people, and you mentioned that here, all the people developing a new paradigm in the health science and so forth have emphasized that we're not just a body, a physical body. We are a spirit, mental, body mixture, if you like. And that needs also to be taken into account in understanding what is now going on. And as you're saying, I absolutely agree. There is much more going on than you will see on the surface.
Yeah, and as I understand, the biological terrain is not just physical, but it's emotional, mental, and it's spiritual.
Yeah.
In other words, the etheric, the field, the quantum field, it's like that's the terrain in which we live.
Yeah.
And it's the cause behind the, so to speak, cause that we're just coming around to deal with. And there's this dynamic that I see emerging, that so much of all of our sciences are, again, based on the old Newtonian model of cause and effect, where the new paradigm, of course, gets into the quantum paradigm of cause and effect, and this whole understanding of the terrain that's shaping the symptoms that we see, so to speak, is more subtle and behind the scenes. And I've always wondered about this with like the science of homeopathy, and I used to work with homeopathy more so. And of course, before quantum science, nobody understood how homeopathy worked, because modern medicine is working on a level of gross remedies that toxify the body, that are virtually poisonous, drugs.
Yeah, sure.
And homeopathy was very subtle, and working with the energy fields, very subtle energy fields of the body. Now quantum science can explain that, but still modern medicine is so entrenched in the paradigm of that everyone lives with. When you get sick, most people think they're healthy unless their nose is running and they're feeling pain. But they may have adapted to a very low level of vitality, even though, they don't have any symptoms. And the opposite of that is kind of the understanding of and resonance with the highest frequencies, expressions of the ninth wave of love and unity. And that understanding, I mean, that book on the ninth wave of evolution, this understanding. Well, you've got an upcoming event that's coming up here. What is it, June 6th?
Yes.
A couple weeks on accessing the ninth wave of evolution through shared unity. You're going to be with Patricia, how do you say that, Albert?
Albert, I think.
Albert?
I have to ask her if it's Albert or Albert, but, Albert, I think it is. Yeah.
And that's coming up Saturday, June 6th, and it's going to be like a uplifting conscious ascent event, a free two-hour seminar. I wanted to mention this because I'm looking forward to that myself. I guess you worked with Patricia before.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's a very natural, we paired up for this thing, and I sort of... She's been developing a remarkable, practice, you might say, in order to access the ninth wave for about 10 years, a little bit more than that. I had contact with her work first time, I think, in 2014, and I participated in a course of it and realized that here there is something distinct and valuable. And she had also intuited that this new state, this we-ness, if you want to call it that, W-E, in it, that's something that just became accessible in around 10 years ago. In other words, when the ninth wave was activated. And then she also realized that this, what shall I say, energy is not the word, but this, I use my own terminology, like this quantum state had to be directly accessed from what she called the point of origination. And that's, you know, it's exactly what I talk about with another terminology, which is it has to be accessed from what the Maya called the place of creation, which is like the center of the universe. And it wasn't possible to get to that state that she's developing by just using the old individual spiritual practices. And so what I'm saying here and what I'm explaining then is that it requires a quantum state. And when I say that, what I mean is that it's not enough to just do more of the same of the individual spiritual processes that we might have chosen to engage in the past. It requires a quantum shift. And so in this sense, you know, I think we are pairing up for this online event. It's very exciting. I provide my theoretical background, quantum theory, Mayan calendar, and so forth. And she has also then the practice of letting people actually experience going to that other quantum state, the ninth wave, you might say. And so I hope, think this will be quite exciting and the beginning of a new opening for all those that want to climb to the we-ness and not just stay in the question as what's in it for me or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not what it's about. Yeah, not that it's anything wrong with a spiritual individual process, and it may prepare you for this, but it's not the same thing. This is one step more.
Well, I've been doing my radio show Cosmic Club now. This is my 12th year, and a major theme of throughout these 12 years is I've talked a lot about unity and diversity, or unity conscience, and how we're, what went on with the American Revolution, 200 some years ago. Now we're seeing it globally, that the technology of communications, instant everywhere, interactive, communications capabilities, it's like a global village now. So now there's a huge initiation of this sense of we are the united, instead of the United States of America, the United Sovereigns of Earth. We are one.
We have to go there.
That's where it's going. And of course, the shift in consciousness and the waves.
Could you repeat what you called it? I just want to remember it. The United Sovereigns.
The U.S. is in terms of the United Sovereigns of Earth.
Good. Thank you.
So we're this unity state, us as a unity state, we the people as United Sovereigns, because of the technology, it compels a way of thinking in terms of instant everywhere, interactive, global village, family of mankind. We're arriving, and I have numerous websites, like on the Prime Directive. The Prime Directive of which is really, you know, light and love, you know, love and unity.
Yeah.
You know, that as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, you know, worlds without end in terms of, you know, Earth is on the threshold of joining the Galactic Federation of sovereign planets. And we have to come into sovereignty, you know, unity consciousness, you know, as a whole, individually and collectively, before we can join the Federation of sovereign planets, you know. And so this is a huge, and of course, the quantum shift is in the quantum reality is that what I say is matriculating the matrix, the matrix of time and space, you know, and with between our ears, that there is the platform for evolution, you might say, the way it's centered and connected is in the pineal gland in the center of our brain. I'm fascinated with this understanding that we are in the universe and the universe is within us. And that us is the unity state. You know, U.S. is a unity state. Mm-hmm. United sovereigns, unity and diversity.
Yeah.
This is something I got in one of your previous books when you talked about the eightfold nature. The eight gateways to the City Four Square. Well, the holodeck, you know, and you talk about, you know, the holographic universe, the fractal order of the holographic universe in your book, and you go into that explanation of how, you know, what the holograph, you know, how it's all connected in a way that there's divine order. And you know, it's like, you know, it's all in divine order, and that we have this field between our ears that the pineal gland is tuning into and resonating in the field. And stepping down, and you have a expression, the way you use the word, of how it's like funneling or filtering, you know, the field, you know, we have these filters for the field, but it's like we've got, you know, in the holodeck of our brain holodeck, you've got the upper brain, you've got the lower brain, left brain, right brain, you know, forebrain and rear brain, like foresight and hindsight, you know, you've got this field of energy, and the pineal gland is like the remote control you have for the TV. It's doing the channel switching between, you know, the different parts, the different areas of the brain. And of course, when you take DMT or some kind of psychotropic, you know, the mescaline or psilocybin, it just all the neural networks of the brain all fire up, and they actually can you know, show this, you know, with electromagnetic field, you know, resonance imaging of the brain. It's like amazing. They can see how the brain just lights up because the neurotransmitter networks, you know, are fired up, you know, with neurotransmitters. So I was really happy to see this book, because the technology, you know, the understanding of psyche technology, I mean, I was studying, gosh, back in the early 70s, late 60s, Psychology Today magazine had a whole series of articles on what was going on with the consciousness revolution in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained, you know, the understanding of psychotropic drugs, neurotransmitters, and neural energizers, you know, like caffeine, amphetamine, dexedrine, methadrine, you know, those molecules that stimulate the energy and raise up the energy levels. And the neurotransmitters like DMT, LSD, mescaline, psilocybin, you know, THC, you know, for marijuana, and how these neurotransmitters, you know, basically diffuse the energy through the brain, which is why some people space out after a little bit, because they're used to channeling a certain amount of energy in a limited network. So all of a sudden you open up the networks of the brain holodeck, the holographic field. People kind of space out, but if you bring up the energy levels of the body with neural energizers at the same time, then there's kind of a balance point, and you can sustain it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, studying this psychopharmacology back in the 70s, and realizing, my gosh, you know, this is going to be the future. And but now we're seeing, I think, the wave and the timing, you know, with the ninth wave, these are the dimensions, the multiple dimensions are opening
right.
up. And it's like the hero, I love the book, Hero with a Thousand Faces, you know, that, you know, by Campbell, Joseph Campbell.
Oh, okay,
and,
yeah.
And it's basically like multiple dimensions. It's like the nine waves, understanding.
Yeah.
And of course, some people would say, you know, well, that's like, you know, multiple personalities, which has a negative connotation. But I look at it as like the hero with a thousand faces. If you can navigate the different nine dimensions or, you know, the nine waves and understand them, and as you become conscious of the different waves and resonate with them, you can integrate that perspective, you know, like a dimensional perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, that's just kind of my take on all the, but I've been fascinated with your books from the beginning, and it's been my pleasure to interview you over the years and get your insights as they evolve, because you have you're like in sync with the collective consciousness is waking up. I think there's a mass awakening going on with a form of unity consciousness, and all that's less than unity is seems to be coming up for transmutation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the light of unity is bringing up all unlike itself. It's kind of like the metamorphosis process. You know, we're not a butterfly yet. We're still kind of, you know, in that from a worm into in the chrysalis, and we're still kind of that gray gunge, you know, where, you know, you can see, you know, that there's a butterfly forming, but we certainly haven't taken wing yet.
No, that's right. Yeah. 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 You know, if you study indigenous peoples around the planet, or some people that are practice a lot of shamanic things, they would usually have what we would call a multidimensional worldview. So
yeah.
They look upon it as, you know, you can tune in to different channels of experience, and if you do, you will maybe experience some kind of a spirit, or sometimes you will experience just the normal physical world, and so forth. And this, you know, this really fits very well with this Mayan view of nine levels of consciousness that each, you might say, provides one frame of consciousness, one dimension, you might say. And then they actually exist simultaneously, and so there will be a multi-dimensionality that you become open to through this. And of course it's about resonating with different kinds of waves, and then you can see then you will have another completely different worldview, actually, compared to the simple physicalist worldview. So this fits into the whole thing with the shamanic traditions and the fact also, you know, that over the past 20 years or something like that, you find that more and more people are starting to talk about them downloading information. I made a download, they would say, and so forth. What we should be aware of is that kind of a worldview is completely inconsistent with the dominating paradigm, where everything happens, everything your brain expresses is created inside your own brain. In other words, the dominating paradigm doesn't allow for the whole idea of downloading any kind of information. But this worldview very much does so. And so this worldview fits with something that an increasing number of people have an experience of. I downloaded, I got a download or whatever people. Yeah. As well as another aspect of this is the fact that, you know, people talk, and that's been going on for longer than 20 years. That's probably 50, 60 years. People have saying, you know, we're on the same wavelength. I don't like his vibes and stuff like that. So there is a feeling that there is something about wavelength, which is really exactly what I'm talking about in my books. That, you know, if you're downloading information coming from the same wave, well, then you will have the same two individuals both downloading that information. Well, then you will be on that person's wavelength, so to speak. And these are sort of more colloquial experiences that people have, the everyday experiences that people talk about. But it's just that this is what was presented in my book is a systematic scientific theory to explain that. But it fits with what a lot of people actually today experience, whether they're talking about downloads coming from the cosmos, or if they talk about being on the same frequency, which may also very well come from the cosmos. That's what I think. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've been watching with fascination is this understanding of unity consciousness, intuition in terms of a non-linear knowing, and your book explains. Forget which pages it is, but there's a section where you talk about how Western civilization is largely left brain dominant, and Eastern civilization is largely right brain dominant.
Yeah.
And this is actually a function of the hemispheres of the Earth actually resonate holographically with the hemispheres in the brain.
Yeah.
And this understanding of how in the West. We take the way we process and the way education works is compartmentalized thinking with left brain linear logical letter of the law, which, you know, the old expression is the letter of the law killeth the spirit of the law, which is nonlinear intuition, a kind of a spherical, spiritual, you know, unity consciousness. You know, we're all connected.
Yeah.
And it's very quickly with the internet, which is kind of like the Akashic records. It's become like it's a metaphor for, you might say, the mind of universe. You know, in a local sense on the earth, that there's all knowledge, and of course, knowledge is power, and you can know anything you want to know whenever you want. Just put it in your search engine bar, and pull it up. Well, there's this maturing of the collective consciousness worldwide that we can know anything and do anything and empower, you know, wisdom with love and unity consciousness. But how are we going to do that? And what's the opposition to that? Well, it's the old paradigm of ownership and control, the old patriarchal top-down, lockstep, linear letter of the law that is ownership and control, not cooperate. And coordinate with unity. And so all of this dynamic, it's like now we're in a wave, and this is, I appreciate this understanding in your new book of how the empire, the patriarchal mindset empire, Western empire, is disintegrating, and there's a whole new paradigm integrating, but in the meantime, in that process of metamorphosis, we ain't the butterfly yet.
Yeah.
We're like that gray gunge, you know? And it's like people know there's something wrong with this coronavirus lockdown that they're not telling us. You know, there's something not right about it, and they can't quite put their finger on it. Of course, I've been trying to process through that for myself, and I share you know, in my blog that I send out, I share, you know, videos and stuff that people a lot smarter than me that explain, you know, what's going on. But it's, I think the core understanding is in your new book, you know, this quantum science, because you kind of put it all together. And I think what's happened, all these books that you've written on the subject, Carl, you've gotten better at saying more with less.
Yeah.
And you've basically, this is kind of a summary in a way, especially with the metaphor with psychedelics, you know, mind expanding. You know, what does that mean? Well, the only way to really understand it is in the context of the field, you know.
Yes.
The quantum field.
Exactly.
And we are in this universe in the field, and that field is within us, and we're filtering it in different ways. But if you, the more that we understand the dynamics of how that field works, it's like we've got, it's like you got the programming code to the holodeck between your ears. You got the download. You can begin downloading specific resonance to specific coordinates to the holodeck between the ears, so that, you know, before you go to bed, you can basically program the coordinates for the whatever holodeck level you want to go to while you're sleeping, so you can wake up with that perspective. Kind of, you know, that's kind of an analogy, but.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really, to me, this, I was so excited to get this book because I knew it was coming to this, you know, with your other books, and there's a resurgence of therapeutic uses of psychedelics, and I saw a phenomenal video by who's that New York? He's a New York Times, no, he's a New Yorker magazine. He was a editorial writer for years in the New Yorker.
Oh, Daniel Pinchbeck?
Yes.
Yeah.
And and his articles, the recent articles that he's had on kind of a revival of using for therapeutic purposes different psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, and of course, I remember back even. Timothy Leary, the book he did called High Priest. I don't know if you remember that, going way back.
Yeah.
And he was working with prison inmates, and they got such phenomenal results, you know, the transformative results with prison inmates, and, you know, with the set and the setting and the whole way that they did sessions with, you know, therapeutically, that they shut down the experiment because the implications of that was that they could pretty much release most of the people. I mean, they could transform the lives and you know, therapeutically work with them. So they shut that down. But that's coming back. That's coming back now.
Yeah, it is. It is, and the attitude is changing, I think, quite broadly, even in the medical profession, in relation to psychedelics. And I think it's just now they have produced so much evidence through these studies that everything points to psychedelics being very, very important therapeutic tools. When I was contacting people I wanted to give my book to a couple of people, and then I found out that, you know, Johns Hopkins University, which is a quite prestigious medical university, they actually have a department of psychedelics today. And so I sent a book to the head of the department of psychedelics. And that would not have been possible even 5 years ago, I think. But it just shows that how then they would have tried to hide it under some consciousness or something like that. No, just Department of Psychedelics. And so it's it really is appropriate because, you know, if they're used in appropriate settings, they are overall not very toxic or not toxic at all. And there's no evidence that they are addictive. So, you know, why would somebody else have the right to forbid their use, you might say, which is really what has happened, of course. But
I was going to say, like any technology, the technology has been abused, can be abused, and of course,
yes.
In the past, was abused, and of course, it can be used. And how and the criteria, the protocols for correct use of this modality of therapy. It's kind of an underground movement now, with a lot of doctors doing it off the radar, so to speak. But at the same time, the same efficacy that Timothy Leary found, and him and Metzner way back then with clinical trials, you might say, in prisons. That now, of course, you're finding the kind of intellectual elite in New York City and around the country are doing this in sessions with psychologists or psychiatrists, or, in a supportive setting, where they'll have nice music and kind of the whole support system they have with ayahuasca, which brings me around to your experience with ayahuasca. I'm sure you kind of had a reboot, probably, I would think, of your whole way of thinking about everything.
I think so. I think it lightened me up in some ways. Most of the things I have written, I would probably have been able to write anyway, but it's, you really have to have some kind of experience if you're going to talk about it. Otherwise, you don't know if you're just doing some kind of a theoretical thing or something like that. So, it has changed me. It has, yeah.
Well, there are a lot of very professional people that are coming forward now, and why I think this book was really timely, because it's kind of going, the understanding of the therapeutic value is going mainstream.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interest in it, and of course, the using it correctly really, I think, comes back to the understanding of what all psychotropics do, and is that they make you more susceptible to suggestion. So if the suggestion in a supportive environment, the set and setting, the internal mindset and the external setting, if they're both supportive going into it, I think the best way to prepare the internal mindset is an understanding of the quantum field and quantum reality. And, of course, you had that in spades going into it. That's why I was thrilled to see this book with your understanding from your experiences with the ayahuasca, because it's kind of pioneering the new frontier of inner space.
Yes. Traveling in inner space, yes.
From your perspective, you had spent so much time processing the coordinates of the quantum holographic field. You had co-measurement with what was going on, so I can see how your susceptibility to suggestion was. You really were able to flesh out a clear understanding, a way of explaining what you had been immersing your understanding in over many years.
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
I really believe that brought more to the holistic perspective that you've got in this new book, which is, I think it's a great synopsis of your other books. You've got some parts of it, but you did it in a way, it's like you stepped back from it, all the other material, probably with your experiences, and were able to synopsize or synergize with more of a synchronicity or serendipity, like in the here and now, everything that went before. And I think that's what the book has has, I mean, for me, it was, I like the way you organized it, which is explaining your introduction real well, and the way the chapters mm-hmm. flow, and you basically did a new synergy or a synopsis of, you know, your previous works. But it's like anything else, you know, the more you work at it, the better you get at it if your feedback circuits are open. And by doing it, you learn how to do it. And in this case, you've done a lot of work. Groundwork, background. So this book, I mean, I'm highly recommended to friends and readers on my, you know, on my blog.
Great.
Because it is such a good synopsis.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
No, you're welcome. And, you know, I'm one to, basically, you know, my intention is the same as yours. You know, we're looking at, you know, how we're going to come out of all this with, you know, mm-hmm. more light and love, more unity consciousness, you know, and of course, the higher the concept of cosmic universal love, the greater the results. So how mm-hmm. we frame that is, again, part of the, if we're going to be, especially if people are experimenting with, you know, psychotropics, if they're more susceptible to suggestion, and how we frame, you might say, the infrastructure of quantum reality is the results that we get. I mean, that's a principle in quantum science. You know, where you put your attention is where your God is, basically. and that you know, you're just a mere observance of a phenomena affects the outcome.
Yeah.
So that I think this is where we're at now. How we position and package or promote the coordinates for quantum reality, you know, the quantum field. And I really think that the understanding of the ninth wave of evolution and this shared unity, what that will look like and how that works as far as involving and evolving our individual and collective unity consciousness, that the more we, you know, again, observe that, the more that will be the results we'll get, like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really mm-hmm. excited about the future, Carl. I think we're on the threshold of amazing revelations. You know, this is the time of revelations. And, you know, some people in the fifth wave, sixth wave, seventh wave, eighth wave, they're waking up at that level of the wave dynamics. And of course, everyone's got different soul contracts. You know, we're all in different, you know, different steps of the great, of that, you know, that nine step pyramid, or, you know, that nine.
Yeah,
we're different levels there, but
yeah,
a lot of people are waking up, and some people are waking up to the confusion. They're you know, they're all of a sudden they're seeing the disorder, but and other people are waiting up to virtual salvation, as far as self-elevation. I mean, I think of salvation as self-elevation. Some people are waking up to what the ninth wave really means in terms of unity and love, unity consciousness.
Yeah.
And, you know, the universal law, language, cosmic laws of quantum reality, they're getting at least glimpses of it, and they're... Mm-hmm. Seeing as this is our collective future, this is our divine destiny. I think we're on the threshold of something really, really special and really, really important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is there any final comments or ideas or concepts you'd like to share with us?
Well,
um,
No, I think we had a good discussion here. My books, as you know, are packed with ideas and stuff like that, but they're also packed with evidence. Really, I think I want to emphasize that. You know, it's this is not just doing some kind of philosophical speculations. It is science, and that, what I mean by that is that it's based on facts, and these facts are presented, and they meaning that the theories are completely transparent. You're not asked to, the reader is not asked to agree to something he or she cannot see what it's based on. It's very meticulously based on facts, and I certainly would like, not only for my own sake, but for everyone's sake, that people actually look into this these books, and to do so to convince themselves that this is not just speculative philosophy. It's something that has a lot of background, and I think you and I had a good discussion here. We touched upon some kind of core values or core conclusions, but then as I said, you know, I certainly would like to see people near going in and checking it out critically also. I mean, I welcome critical thinking, not just sort of people listening to somebody and agreeing because that person may be some kind of an authority or something like that. I think we are beyond that point where we should just take people's word for ideas.
I think you've got a lot of exquisite metaphors for quantum reality. I mean, through your books, there's so many exquisite metaphors, especially from a Western left brain dominant point of view, which is we're in the West.
Yeah.
For the Western mind, the only way we can understand nonlinear concepts of quantum reality is through exquisite metaphors. And Carl, you've done a phenomenal job providing that in your books, and I'm so grateful for all the work that you've done. Really congratulate you on this these three books that you've got, you know, with that you've completed, and it's been an incredible journey. And I'm just really grateful. So I want to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. Right. And thank you for, you know, keeping it up by inviting me for every volume of this trilogy, you might say. So we have developed our talks over time here.
Well, thank you, Carl. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Keep the faith, see the good, and happy trails until we meet again. Bye for now. Thanks, Carl.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.